Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 6, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page XIX in the foreword to the second edition. And we will be reading the very first full paragraph. Today's readers are Mary P., Robin P., Juanice N., Kara L. Our newcomer greeter is Lois P., and Betsy H. will be giving us announcements today. The reference numbers for Tuesday, 12-5, December 5th, the 10 a.m. meeting, is 20,906. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,909. That's 20909. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message, the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Jody. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning and that path.
Thank you, Mary P. from Texas. And I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Robin.
Thank you. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except for in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and TV. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Juanis N. from Costa Rica. I'm sorry, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Getting ahead of myself. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing, and I'll let you know when your time is up, and then you can wrap up. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XIX, paragraph 1. I will now ask Juanis N. to begin reading. Thank you, Juanis.
Good morning, Jody. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Great. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanis, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God, one day at a time. So here we go. As we discovered the principles by which the individual alcoholic could live, so we had to evolve principles by which the AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. It was thought that no alcoholic man or woman could be excluded from our society, that our leaders might serve but never govern, that each group was to be autonomous, and there was to be no professional class of therapy. There were to be no fees or dues. Our expenses were to be met by our own voluntary contributions. There was to be the least possible organization, even in our service centers. Our public relations were to be based upon attraction rather than promotion. It was decided that all members ought to be autonomous at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. And in no circumstances should we get endorsements, make alliances, or enter public controversies. Wow. When I first read this morning, I said to myself, hallelujah. Thank God. You know, it's where it says, okay, what this means to me. As we discovered the principles by which the individual alcoholic could live, and to me that says the getting rid of selfishness and self-centeredness and quit playing God. And then they realized they had to do the same thing for the groups as a whole. And that's what this says to me. You know, we're not going to be selfish. We're going to let everybody who wants to come in be in. You know, we're not going to govern. We're not going to play God. We're not going to, you know, decide, you know, who's this and what should be what. Thank God. I am so grateful because this is one of the things that helped me to be able to trust this process is when I saw that I wasn't going to be coached and I wasn't going to be poked and prodded and yelled at and, you know, told by anybody else really that how I needed to change and why I needed to change. All of that stuff came from God. All of that stuff came from my working the steps, looking at myself and my own process with me and God through prayer and meditation and all of that. And it just happened because I wanted it to happen. And it was in the right way. It wasn't somebody, you know, no therapy. You know, we're not therapists. You know, we carry the message of recovery. We tell what happened, what it was like and what happened to us and what we're like now, you know, how we got our relationship with God, how we established our relationship with God and how God is changing our lives. Man, oh man, oh man. I mean, it just blows my mind how good this is. How thorough they were, you know, how protected we are in this program. I'm so grateful, and that's all for me, and I'll pass. Thanks. Jody, I can't hear you.
Can't hear anybody. Oh, sorry. Here I am. Sorry. Thank you, Juanis. Thank you, Juanis, for your share. I will now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph, which is on page XIX, the first full paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Chanel T.
Danielle W.
I heard Chanel T and someone
else. Danielle W.
Danielle. Gotcha, Danielle.
Ken W. H.
Ken W. H. Gotcha.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Dion R.
There's Dion. Dion R. Okay, let's go with that group. Chanel T, Danielle W, Ken W H, Bruce E, and Dion R. Please let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead, Chanel.
Good morning, Donna. Good morning, everyone else, or afternoon or evening, depending on where you are in the world, because thanks to phone lines and other technology, we can all be here together today, and I am Chanel T. I am a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery by the grace of God this very day. And I look at this and I'm astonished. This means that the entire organization itself, I say it about the book all the time and I hear others say it, that I believe it's divinely inspired as many others do. But this is organization itself, AA, and therefore OA and other A's, I feel is divinely inspired. And how could it not be? Because we're people, right? I'm a person. I'm inherently flawed, and I am selfish and self-centered, and I want things to go, and I'm sure they should go, in the best possible way, which is my way, always. That's my default. In fact, I've eaten over it most of my life. But when I look at this and it says, as we discovered, the principles by which the individual alcoholic or compulsive eater could live, So we had to evolve principles by which the AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. They're traditions that I used to not really want to read, and I would make myself read on meetings. And the traditions that I feel for granted so much of the time, they're just there. They're just there, right? No, they had to really work this through. I'm sure there were a lot of arguments, and it talks about that. It wasn't an easy time to come up with these things. And just that they would, the things about no alcoholic man or woman could be, you know, a person could be excluded from our society. I mean, this is not a time when people who weren't white were invited a lot of places. Let's be honest. And so it's talking about anyone being welcome in the rooms. In over the years, you know, there have been other things, someone's sexuality. It's incredible that we're saying here, or they're saying here, no, no one is excluded under any circumstances, no matter what, anything about them, any attribute. What a beautiful, amazing thing. Our leaders might serve but never govern. What? We're people who want to be in charge. Okay, I'm a person who wants to be in charge, and you're telling me I'm not going to govern? Love that, love that. Each group was to be autonomous. They weren't going to be therapeutic. They were going to be carrying the message of hope that comes from this program, from this book, and not trying to be something more than that. No fees or dues. What? How are we going to run it if there's no fees or dues? And thank you so much. There's so much more to it, and we'll get to hear others say it. And I thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Chanel T. Danielle W., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. Recovered but not cured. You know, I think about what it would be like, you know, back historically, to stand up and say, I'm going to start this organization, right? I'm going to create an organization. There will be no governing body. You cannot promote it. You're not required to pay any fees or dues. And anyone can come. I can't, right off the bat, if somebody had even today said that, my first thought would be, this can't possibly succeed, because it seems to go against everything that we think of when we think about starting a business or creating a successful organization. And yet, you know, the founders, and I agree, I think this is divinely inspired, understood that this organization couldn't be like others. It had to be unique in every way that we face. And it's so interesting to me that the very things you would think would hold an organization back are the very things that have kept this organization succeeding and growing and healing people around the world. I'm in awe of it. I'm amazed how well a meeting runs, even though there are no leaders governing. You know, we all get a voice. We all get to participate. There's a democratic spirit. And I have learned, you know, I remember early on, I wanted certain meetings to go a certain way, but I really had to learn that, you know, once a decision was made by the group, that I had to let go of my selfish, self-centered ways and support the group. I'm astounded day by day that this book and that these meetings and the organization and the fellowship runs as beautifully as it does in the way that it has been designed. I see God in every part of it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle W. Ken W.H., please share with us and where you're from. Ken W.H., press star 1 to unmute, please. Well, perhaps Ken had to. There he is.
Hi,
Ken. Now I hear you.
Sorry
Go
about
ahead.
That. WH.
No problem.
on the road heading home to North Carolina. I'm recovered compulsive overeater. I'm just aware that at the very end of that paragraph, it talks very specifically about the issue of power and control. And I was too smart too soon in a lot of things in early recovery. And I had some great ideas, and I would, I came out of another fellowship where we used to use the phrase that whoever was moderating was the power for the hour, like complete control. And I like that idea of being the power for the hour. And this emphasis on that not being the case in the fellowship is so very important. Tradition 2 is the one that I think speaks so directly to it. If the long form, which is the original of the traditions, is actually shorter than the short form that we say all the time, that the short form has, they do not govern, because we obviously weren't quite getting that right, I imagine, and that some of us were trying to control and run the show. I was guilty of that from time to time, and wanting people to do it the way I thought it should be done. And that doesn't work, and it doesn't work for me. It doesn't help me to be healthier, and that's what this is all about, for me to get well, weller, or however I want to put it. But it's just very interesting that these traditions are spot on. That's all I have. Pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Bruce E., please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for everybody on the line. And I'm Bruce E., I'm recovered in Florida. Appreciate it, that, and this meeting. Yeah, and this thing about might serve but never govern. Well, I didn't, you know, when I got into before I got in the program, I didn't know anything about serving anybody. You know, I just want to serve myself, you know, and then govern. I wanted to serve myself and govern everybody else. Yeah, it sounds here like, no, we're going to serve others and we're not going to govern. And yeah, and I knew how to govern. That never worked out well. I could manage people, couldn't manage myself, couldn't manage other people. But thought I could, but I'd try to govern and never serve anybody. But now I'm finding out, you know, you come in here, you serve others, and you don't govern. You know, or I don't govern, and I don't serve other people. You know, I mean, I serve other people, and I don't govern. So kind of different than what I'd learned all my life previously. And this is interesting here, but could not be excluded from our society. No one could be excluded. So we had a guy come to a meeting years ago, and then it's just really nuts, you know. And we never excluded him. And I don't think we'd read this, but anyway, we never excluded him. Then I go to an AA meeting in another town nearby, and they said they excluded them from that meeting. I thought, wow, if I'd known they did that, we might have tried there. But it says here, you don't exclude people. You know, I guess you can talk to somebody if they're out of line and after the meeting or something, but you don't exclude them. And the voluntary contributions, that's interesting too, because so I wanted to do an amends, or I did an amends, and I wanted to do a follow up the amends with a contribution to OA, and I called up OA and I told them I had my credit card. Here's a contribution. Here's what I want to make. And the woman just asked like it was ho hum, you know. She didn't get down and bow down to me or anything like that. I thought she would if I called up and made a contribution. She ought to bow down to me. You know, my ego told me that, but. No, she just took the contribution, got off the phone, you know, so that was good. And entering public controversies, well, based on attraction, Yeah. And the public controversies is good because I can really get into controversy, you know, political
Hi.
And everything, religious and all that. Oh, thank you. But it says here no controversy. That sounds good. So I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. from Florida. Dion R., please go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, this is Dion R. Very grateful to become a compulsive overeater. I want to apologize, first of all, to you, Ms. Jody, as well as the rest of the group. Forgot I had an appointment this morning. I mean, I didn't forget about the appointment. I forgot to text them. I'm going to text them and let them know I need coverage, and I did. So let me get that out the way. Why? Because that's what I want to do, to stay abstinent and from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body where I'm no longer in bondage of hell in my head. Food is neutral today. No stress. But the concept is screaming to me. After I got on, I looked at it. It just keeps screaming. It's okay. It was thought that no alcoholic man or woman could be excluded from our society. And everyone else expounded as well. Our leaders are both trusted servants, not governed, and all that. But the press, that it was thought that no compulsive overeating from our society. Anybody need help? Should be excluded from Overeaters Anonymous if they want to come in. So I know they're saying AA back there, but those principles are quite clear. So just to be able to, and I said, what a concept if the world would take that. Wow. Who would we be? And I'm plagiarized because I heard somebody in the group say that years ago. These principles can work for anybody in any society. And but right now, let it begin with me, you know, and that's why it's just like, no one's bigger or lower than me. It's just we all part of a, and I'm not a bozo. I think I came up from the bozo, but I'm just a beautiful woman saved by grace and just want to carry the message of love and recovery that I found in these precious rooms where nobody kicked me out because I came in there with my little crazy shirt or whatever I had on, my shorts or whatever. Nobody kicked me out. And I'm so grateful. But they just said, you have a desire to not eat. Come on in here for that. Listen. And today I'm so grateful that I can stand up and be a standing citizen and say, I made a mistake. And with that, I'm not a mistake, but I made a mistake by not texting earlier. So thank you all for allowing me to be a part of the solution and willing to serve. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dion R. from Ohio, and that's perfectly okay. We are doing well here. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page XIX, the first full
Gloria
paragraph.
H. Alexis
L. H. Hold on. Gloria H. Alexis.
F.
F.
Jan L.
Jan L.
Agnes A.
Agnes
Stephen
A.
G.
Stephen G. Great.
Kevin M.
Scoop. Kevin M. Okay, let's stop there after Kevin. We have Gloria H., Alexis F., Jan L., Agnes A., Stephen G., and Kevin M. And if you let us know where you're from, it will help all of us find you on the membership directory. Gloria H., please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Gloria H. from Charlotte, North Carolina, obsessive compulsive overeater. And, you know, I'm so glad I read the passage because, you know, I used to try to take tests in school blindly, thinking I just knew what I knew, but I didn't know nothing. And what I stood out for me was autonomy. Each group is autonomous except in outside whatever it was, the whole passage, to paraphrase it, except when I guess, to paraphrase it, it goes against whatever the precepts of this program is about. Because I know that many a times, and I always go all around the merry go around to come back to the real subject, but I heard someone say the other day about 10 drunks writing this stuff. And I said, but they were intelligent. You know, because I'm a compulsive overeater doesn't mean that I'm not intelligent. It just means that I'm a compulsive overeater when it comes to food. You know, I have no control. I'm powerless and my life can be unmanageable. So I just wanted to say, yeah, they're probably very intelligent 10 drunks, you know. And then the point about the autonomous thing is that sometimes, you know, you have a meeting and they decide this is going to be a 12-step meeting, this is going to be a big book meeting. These, I'm talking about live meetings back in the day because I've been in this program since 78. I mean, around the room since 78, but I know about 08 since 78. And the point that I'm trying to make is that I've been on the bridge meetings and a lot of bridge meetings. And when they have a business meeting, I says, I got to get off because I don't want to see the bloodshed. You know, today it's different. I mean, because it's the media and all this kind of stuff. People want to control. People want to be heard. You know, they forget. I try to remember a group conscious because that's what I was taught. Whatever group conscious decided, that's what we went with, you know. And it all worked out because it was supposed to be God. You know, we're supposed to say God is in the meeting. He's the one who's presiding over the meeting. He knows best. He will work it out. Even if at this time it's not good, he'll find a way and it will change. If I believe in God and I believe that he has all power, and I do, I say, he can, I can't, and I'm going to let him, you know. So I just want to throw my little 2 cents in the bucket and I pass so others can share.
Thank you so much, Gloria H. from North Carolina. Alexis F., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Alexis F. from New Jersey. Prohibition started in 1919 and it ended in 1933. I don't find it a coincidence that AA was founded on June 10th, 1935, 2 years after Prohibition stopped, because the clubs opened and the bars opened right away after that, and they were very heavily the clientele was very heavily populated, and I found that with compulsive overeating, which came along soon after the grandfather program, I found in my own life that constricting and dieting brought me to binging more than I ever did before. And it really scares me to think what it could be like now after going years without sugar if I ever picked it up again. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexis F. from New Jersey. Dan L., please go ahead. Dan L., please press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning. This is Jan L. from Florida. Grateful to be here this morning. When I read this paragraph, if I really think about it, it's not surprising that they were able to come up with this. Not to me. The reason being, these folks were recovered, or they wouldn't have been able to figure all this out. They had a basic understanding of human thought and behavior. It hasn't changed. It's never going to change to me. Our motives, our egos. This is. But me being an food compulsive eater for years, it drives me to the solution of the food. So grateful I know this now. So these are principles that I need to live by, not only that keep this group together and surviving, but keeps me surviving. I have all these things in how I think and behave if I'm not working the program and seeking my higher power. So I can't survive, I can't function effectively unless I'm actively aware and working on these things through our steps. I tend to want to exclude people. I tend to want to pick my favorites. It says that. It says serve but never govern. Well, I tend to want to tell my ideas, be the boss, think I know. It says each group ought to be autonomous. Well, even though I work these steps like everyone else, I have to recognize that I do have individual characteristics, individual things I need to work on, individual approaches to working these steps. So I have to take those to my higher power and relax and be shown what I need to know. It might be a little bit different from somebody else, even though it falls under the same category of self-centeredness or fear or whatever. No professional class. Well, I can't go tell everybody what I know because of my past profession. That's an outside issue. No fees or dues. Well, if there's a profit motive, you know, I like my profit. It'll mess everything up. Can't have that. Organization. Well, I like to plan and organize and protect myself from all the things I fear in life. That's my control. Nothing wrong with planning and organizing, but for me, I take it to extremes. Public relations, you know, there's my ego. Rather than just behaving in a way that is recovered, I want to stand out. I want to be noticed. And I need to be anonymous. I need to just be who I am, share from my heart, and that requires a connection with my higher power to do that. So for today, I'm just so grateful that in my prayer and meditation, my step 11 this morning, God enlightened me on just relaxing and trusting and knowing that He will bring me the people, places, and things I need to recover today. If I stay close, think of Him, think of my higher power, and ask to be shown, and stay out of the way, and stay connected to my fellows. So, again, so grateful to be here. These principles are amazing, not only for our groups, but me as an individual. And I'm just a flawed human that needs to be aware and seeking direction all throughout my day and trusting that what I need will come today and I don't have to live in fear and I don't have to live in all these behaviors. I have ways to manage them through our 12 steps. Thank you very much. Hope everyone has a wonderful day.
Thank you, Jan L. from Florida. Agnes A., please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Agnes A. from California, Pacific time. I think everybody's already said what I had a burning desire to say, and so I come at this from a different perspective. I come at it from the perspective that, yeah, these are the traditions, the bylaws, the rules by which our group, you know, our organization has been able to thrive, you know, from the principles that we have. But for me, I have increasingly learned that it doesn't just, the traditions, they don't just work, you know, for the organization as a whole, it also works on a personal, individual level. So that has been my own enlightenment. When I look at the 12 traditions, I've looked at them as this is how I should comport myself in my own personal life, right? When I'm dealing with people, I can't be selfish. It's about our common welfare. At the family level, work level, friendship level, or whatever, you know, I've learned to let God be the boss in everything, in all my relationships, kind of a thing, right? And just to accept people the way they are, to learn to be financially independent of, by myself, you know, not wanting people to bail me out one way or another or tell me what to do. You know, because they know better or anything. This group tells me, gives me the answers to life and tells me how to go about living appropriately, not imposing my will on others, not wanting to control them, not gossiping about others, putting our survival in this boat you know, as the primary thing. And then, of course, anonymity, right? That also includes no gossiping to me, no crosstalk, no disrespect, but also just respecting this group and saying, my opinion is not the opinion of everybody else, not just for this group, not just in public, but also when I'm dealing with somebody whose opinions mine differ from. So this is yet another rule to live by, is the way I see the 12 traditions, not just having worked for AAOA and all the other A's, but also for Agnes as a person in her own relationships. And so I strive towards that. So this is what it means to me personally, acknowledging that it's worked for OA and AA. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Agnes A. from California. Stephen D., please go ahead.
Good morning, Jody. Good morning to everybody. Stephen G., recovered compulsive overeater, Toronto, Canada. The line, as we discovered, the principles by which the individual alcoholic could live, that's the 12 steps. And when I came into Vision for You, I was directed to this book and the specific instructions, and I got recovered. And I've been recovered for several years, but I can drift into self-centeredness and self-righteousness about how I think the fellowship should be. And so, as this line says, we had to evolve principles by which the AA groups and AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. And these have to be divinely inspired. I don't see how they could have come simply to the human intellect. But these are the things that will force me to stay in my lane for the safety of the group and for the fellowship, because I want things to be done the way that I want them to be done. I want people to think the way that I do, to speak and share the way that I do, and to structure their recovery the way that I do. And this reminds me, oh, right, our common welfare should come first. Reminds me again that there is but one authority allowed through our group conscience, not through Stephen's mind, and that I can't exclude anybody, and the only requirement is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And it makes no difference how long I've been recovered, how many people I've sponsored, how many special editions I may do, that I'm just a trusted servant. I have no authority. I do not govern. And that's what I need to remain humble, and it keeps the group safe so that we can all stay recovered. And thanks very much for listening.
Thank you so much. Stephen G. from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Kevin M., it's your turn. Evan, press star one, please.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Excellent. Hi, this is Kevin N., gratefully recovering compulsive overeater out in Washington State. Glad to be on the call this morning. The thing that this reading made me think of was the way that OA's loose structure encourages me in my recovery journey to find strength in myself, to find structure within myself, because so often, you know, in my history, the thing that I've looked for is something else to be strong for me, because that's what food or whatever substances that I have is. Like, it is the thing that I think will make me strong, will fortify me when I'm feeling weak. And it could be really easy to essentially turn away any program into a substitute for that drug, that this then becomes the strong place that I run to. And that means that it's only as strong as the people who are there. It means it's as susceptible to corruption as any human endeavor. And it really, I think, for me, reinforces the idea that the strong place for all of us is in our higher power, that our higher power, however we define them, is the place where we need to put our trust, essentially. And that is a fundamental posture of powerlessness that's scary, but it also is reassuring to me that I can be safe within these meetings to explore a new expression of strength, and self-confidence, that I can find a way to believe in myself and believe that I don't need food in order to survive emotionally, that I can use it to, but that I can no longer have to go through life afraid, and that is really the hope that I carry today. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin, very much from Washington. We have time for one more share. Who else would like to share? Page XIX, the first full paragraph, as we discovered the principles.
Hi, Sandy from Las Vegas.
Okay, Sandy. Let's go with you, Sandy.
Thank you. I just wanted to very briefly say thank you to the group. I've worked the steps for a very long time. I only joined OA for the second time back in January. But today you allowed me to realize that when it says the traditions came from the anvils of whatever, that those anvils were actually our people in the beginning. And it was hammered, as their defects were hammered out of them, they realized, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. And that's why the traditions came to be. I used to think they were just divinely inspired with all the right informations immediately to do the traditions. And no, that came from being beat up, as we know. So God bless you all, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I didn't catch your initial or your location. I don't know if you want to give us those. Okay, we have time for a 1.5 minute share. Would someone like to take that?
Hi, this is Wendy in Boulder.
Okay, Wendy, just about a minute, please.
Okay, thank you so much,
thank you.
Jody. Yeah, so the traditions make it a safe place to land. And the way I think about traditions is it's like invisible magic. Like you're in the room and nobody's talking about the traditions, but they're happening at all times. And that's what makes this thing work. And I definitely think they're divinely inspired. I know that when I came into my first room 23 years ago in Los Angeles, I knew I was right and everybody was wrong. I didn't really even know that. That's just how I lived. That's the water that I swam in. Those were the thoughts that I had, right? So the traditions teach me how to be with people. And the reason I eat is because I have trouble with relationships. So it's not just in the rooms, right? It's with family, friends, workplace, everywhere. So these invisible, magical, I don't know what they're called, whatever they are, they make the room safe, and more to the point, it's like we're in another world, right? I don't charge you. This isn't about us. It's anonymous. It's absolutely everything that we never learned before. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Wendy. All right, we're about out of time now. We will close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. I will now ask Kara L. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.